Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. T-Shop. What it is, man. So it's like, they mad at the success. They mad at me. So, I gotta give them a reason why.
Everybody wanna hear good show. Everybody wanna see a good show, good flow. Everybody wanna hear good flow, good show.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be the best, but nothing like the rest. Young 50 Cent, look how I'm doing.
Peace and blessings, brothers and sisters, and brother priests. Today, May 2nd, 2015. Today is Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao Day. Yesterday, Avengers Age of Ultron Day. I want to show you something that's very important. This is going to be one of the last times that you'll hear me for the next couple of months as your brother is preparing to make a major move for the benefit of our people in this nation, for the benefit of all of our people across the country. The topic is a great and dreadful day, America pre-foreclosure / Project Prophecy. Addressing this Floyd Mayweather thing first, do you all see how they're beating up on him? How they're calling all of these different things? I want to show you the fraud from a law perspective. I have told some of you that I used to work with a professional boxer who was a heavyweight champion. Well, I'm not going to say his name, but if you know I'm from Detroit, all you got to do is just realize it's somebody from Detroit. But nonetheless, I used to work with a professional boxer. One of the things that I learned is that his hands had to be registered with the Department of State as legal weapons. Now, hear me good. So you have protesters that are coming out against Floyd Mayweather Jr. stating that he's been abusive to women. I'm not denying that he has done something that is improper, and I'm not defending any improper behavior, and definitely not physical violence towards sisters. But I want you to see this. I know this from experience, and I know this from a law perspective. Number one, their hands must be registered with the state as legal, lethal weapons. Must be. If these hands are used to touch anyone, they are considered to be the use of attempted manslaughter. So, a boxer fighter or even an MMA fighter, they can't walk around just like the average individual and play with people using their skills in their hands. They cannot play. So if Floyd Mayweather actually beat up women, if he even breathed on these women, if he even touched them with a pinky, he could be arrested with one phone call. He knows that, and I'm sure the women that he has dealt with knew that. The fight before last that he had was with Madonna. And to be honest with you, I thought he barely won that fight. Thought he actually either was a draw or he barely won. But if you remember, his fiance or his ex-fiance they split up like 3 days before the fight, and his head was not in the fight as it would be in normal fights. Every time this man comes out and fights, the media and everyone piles up on him, beat up on him. Now, I'm saying this because there's actually protesters that are protesting Floyd Mayweather Jr., protesting Mayweather Boxing Promotions, the Money Team, protesting the fight in general, and they're calling for a boycott. Now, you know it's not going to work, but the fact that they're doing it, I'm going to show you some more hypocrisy in this. Where were you when John McClain ran for president? A man who some 30, 40 years ago was on trial for treason and set up to be, he was in front of gunfire to be executed for treason against the United States of America. When held captive by a foreign country, he spilled all the beans and told them everything, told them where the weapons were and all types of things. I don't see one of you protesting against treason and would allow a man to come before you and run for president. Just that thought alone shows the hypocrisy and the fallacy in what it is they're doing. If any Negro, listen, brothers, you and I know, we've been to jail before over foolish things. Traffic tickets is why I went to jail before. But I'm in the jail and I'm hearing brothers complain about arguing with their woman and getting thrown in jail just for arguing. Then come to find out that police are called in a quote-unquote domestic dispute. Someone must go to jail. So these brothers were getting locked up just for arguing with their woman. So they would literally be in jail just for arguing with their woman. Now, had Floyd Mayweather put his pinky finger on one of these women, this man would be under the prison. They would come after him with blood. That's my point. What's going on in Baltimore? This is a great and dreadful day. It appears that the Crips and Bloods in Baltimore that unified and had a truce for the purpose of protecting the community have retained part of the values as to why these organizations were started in the first place, because they did not originate, as most of us know that keep up with it anyway, they did not originate as criminal organizations or as quote-unquote gangs or gangbangers. But it seems that some of you are fooled, protesting, and you're marching. You gotta wake up. Listen carefully. You protested for months pertaining to Trayvon Martin, right? Eric Garner, right? Michael Brown, right? Do you realize that that did nothing? So why would you be fooled into believing that you marching and protesting, and I give my respects to Brother Wale, I give my respects to Brother Carmelo Anthony, to Ray Lewis, to Drew Hill, who all came out and spoke about stopping the looting, the violence, or the potential outbreak in Baltimore. We needed that from our brothers. But don't you be fooled by thinking that your marching and protesting is what got these cops locked up. And if I understand this properly, two of the ones that were involved were Negroes. So although one of our own is dead as a result to police altercations. Two of them were our own people that were involved. Don't be fooled into believing that marching is what got them locked up. Let me suggest to you, I'm going to make it really clear. The one thing these Romans comprehend, the one thing America comprehends, Caucasian people comprehend, is when you are going to meet them with the same thing that they bring to you. When you are ready to meet them with violence meets violence, listen, they'll be ready to sit down and handle business. So what the Crips and Bloods did, I want to suggest to you that you rethink this. Because what they did, I am 100% convinced, is what put the pressure on their new, what is it, their prosecutor, their attorney general there is just 3 months in office, is what put the pressure on them to get this thing done quickly. Not the burning of the CVS, no. We've looted and rioted before. But when those Crips and Bloods united and put that out to the police force and let them know it's going to stop right here or we're going to start taking you out. Now, they know that the police cannot deal with that. Your military can't really deal with it. And I'm explaining to you why they really couldn't handle just the Crips and Bloods in one area, and this is why. First of all, you got to be able to identify them all. And most of them, you're not going to be able to identify. But some of these public figures are easily identifiable and can easily be found wherever they go and can be easily taken out. Police officers that live in normal neighborhoods can easily be found. So when it's a life for a life in threat, now you got a different type of Caucasian. Point I want to make here is that I'm not saying, I'm not advocating sniping police officers by no means. But I said this for the last 5 years, as these brothers have told me this personally, the gangs are the militia and the military for this nation that is rising every day. They are the military for our people. See, they're not afraid to die, and they're not afraid to take a life. And when it comes down to an actual principle that does matter, you see and said something, and they got results. That should show you, brothers, that are Crips and Blood, the power that you actually have that is misguided in your drug use, drug abuse, your frolicking, your adulterous, fornicating ways that I don't at all agree with. But the things that I do agree with is that which is in you that is what a man should be, which is one that loves his people enough to stand up and protect them. And these Bloods and Crips did what the said conscious community apparently hasn't figured out yet, which is unity is the strength, and willing to stand up for a cause that is righteous and carry out what is necessary is the difference maker. They had those people shaking in their boots. Don't you be fooled. They shut down the baseball game, or at least they shut down the people going to the baseball game. Don't you be fooled. So this is a sign when the community leaders met with the gang leaders. This is a sign of a great day that we have a military arm at our disposal that are willing to sit down with those of us or those who are leaders in the community and get something constructive done. Now, all we have to do is supplement the criminal behavior or the need for the criminal activity is a better way to put it, because the criminal activity that gangs have is solely based upon of economic equality and opportunity, which comes from the lack of proper education. So when we can supplement that with them and get them thinking more business-like and nation-like, it'll be such an easy and smooth transition. Now watch how many of those who are your so-called leaders try to come and follow up what they're going to hear your brothers saying today. They're going to try and jump ahead before the time is ripe and try to get it and bring it into fruition. I've been talking this for the last 5 years. I don't talk it often, but I do. As the brothers told me, Brother Priest, if anything goes down with you, this is them on the streets. They love and respect your brother. Don't get it wrong. They love and respect your brother because I love and respect them, not that I agree with everything they do. I understand what they do as men. They do as men. I love the manhood in them. I do not like the misogyny against the sisters, no. But power in men breeds a different kind of man that draws women to them, because essentially sisters look for that type of courage and that type of protection in men. And I don't care what a woman's sexual prowess is, her nature still looks for a man to be a man in times when men are needed. And this was a time when men were needed, and this is a time where the Crips and Bloods stood up and let their voice be heard, and they got results. Take it or leave it, I wanted to point it out to you. So as we're moving towards what we are moving towards, where there will be a unification of the gang members coming into a form of a nation as our military. I just wanted to point it out to you that this is a great and a dreadful day that we are looking at. Now, there's a flip side to this. If the need for the Bloods and Crips to start to enforce what they were talking about had arrived, the risk factor of the entire country erupting into all-out race wars was and is present. So you have to be mindful that that could have backfired on all of our people. They already profile us. They already harass us. They already kill us. But it could have gotten that much worse. And let me say this. We are going to feel some effects from this that are going to be slightly negative. No, not slightly. They're going to be negative. The effects are going to be all across the country. You are going to have to, brothers, carry yourself with some more respect and really get yourself together and walk with some more respect for yourself, your people, and for people that are foreign to you by nationality, or in how some of you interpret it, by said race. So the good things about what is occurring are also dreadful things that we must be warned about. America is in pre-foreclosure. You know, when you go into a foreclosure, when you're dealing with a house, listen to me carefully. America was supposed to pay China back in 2012, December of 2012 to be specific. It did not. A series of events have occurred since 2012, December of 2012, which is really 2013. So we're not even talking 2 years ago. It's really 2013 because September of every year is the next year's fiscal cycle for America, okay? So at the end of September, the next fiscal cycle begins for America. So they were already into the year 2013 before December of 2012. This goes on every year. So what happens in a common foreclosure for a house is you generally have a 3-month period where you fall behind 3 payments. And after you fall behind 3 payments, they will begin the foreclosure or the pre-foreclosure process. So you have 4 months in general, I'm just talking about a house, before a foreclosure even begins. I have to show you how it works with a house so you understand what's happening to America, and you better be prepared. So if you're looking at approximately 4 months with a house, now there are some states that have, I'll give you an example, in Michigan, they have a 6-month redemption period. What a redemption period is, means is that there's a due, a balloon payment, basically. It's a due clause, meaning you have monthly payments that you were paying all the way up until that period. Now that you've fallen behind 3 months, the 4th month they start the pre-foreclosure process. At the end of the 4th month, they're starting to move into the foreclosure. Now they're going to give you a redemption period after they go to a sheriff's sale. A sheriff's sale is an auction. Okay. The redemption period in Michigan is 6 months. So already before they even come to take the house from you, you're looking at approximately 10 or 11 months before they even move on you. Happened during the mortgage fiasco, and what generally happens is where there are 6-month redemption periods. I've heard some that had 12-month redemption periods. I've heard some that have as little as 30 to 60-day redemption periods. I'm just giving you a broader view. What would frequently happen, which is starting in 2008, was the general 6-month redemption period plus the foreclosure time was extending to 2 years. Now listen carefully. In general, the people were having 2 to 3 years to stay in a house without getting put out of the house after they've been foreclosed. because there was so many going on. There were judicial and non-judicial states, meaning that most of them had to go through a court first in order to get a fork to take the property from you. But there was some that didn't. They could just do it through a sheriff's cell on the courthouse steps or different things like that, and then they could take the house from you. But for the most part, what was happening and still does happen is that you got to go through a judicial process, meaning that they're calling for the entire debt to be paid off in one lump sum. So that is your redemption period, is they call for the entire debt to be paid off in one lump sum. When they take you to court to evict you from a foreclosure, that is an eviction. Because what happens is you are a tenant when you have a mortgage. You're tenants in common when you have a mortgage. Some of you are under the illusion that you are a quote-unquote owner. That which you own is that which you owe. The word ownership has to do with owning. Possessorship is the correct term. The possessor of is the rightful possessor that has the lawful power. I know you'll say, well, possession, physical possession is 9/10 of the law. That's a whole nother argument. And you could use that to some degree, but you can only use it so long. That's a whole nother argument. So don't look at that as a remedy. They're calling paid off in one lump sum. Now, what happens when the debt is not paid off? They'll move to a judicial proceeding. They'll go to the judge. The judge will ask them, will ask the one that's being foreclosed upon, do you have the money? If your house was $100,000, they'll ask you, do you have $100,000? Or really, the one that's prosecuting you is going to pull you aside before you go into the court and say, look, do you got the money? They're not going to even ask you that, but that's what they're supposed to do. So they're going to assume that you don't have it. They're going to try and say, look, I can give you 30 days. They're going to try to negotiate days with you. Be out of the house in 30 days. That's what they're going to try to negotiate, because they're going to assume you don't have the money. Now, you go before the judge, you present, but the settlement, because that's a settlement if you don't understand. You settled outside of the court before you walked into the court date, and then the attorney presents the settlement to the judge. The judge reviews it, asks you, do you agree with this? Did you look it over? Do you agree with this? Yes, I did. Okay, well, you got 30 days to get out. You can appeal this decision now. You got 3 days to appeal it. All right, that's what goes on in a home foreclosure. Excuse me, a house foreclosure. A home is different than a house, or a homestead in particular is different than a house. So that is what took place with America, and you didn't see it. First, there was the fiscal cliff, which was predating, mind you, I spoke that in September of 2012, after September is over, the last days of September, October hits, they're in 2013. They're in their next year already. Okay? So as they were coming out of 2012, moving into January of 2013, the uproar was the fiscal cliff, because they had the obligation to pay back China, which they couldn't. And so they didn't have enough money to operate the government. But then some salt got thrown in the game. So once they started talking about, oh, we settled this fiscal cliff problem, all of a sudden, here comes a sequester. And what is a sequester, I wonder? What happens when you're dealing with a court and the court pulls the jury aside and sequesters them? So when you're in a foreclosure for your house, if you demanded a jury trial, they would give you a jury trial. And then if things got too out of hand, they would sequester the jury. So what's going on with the sequester of America? We spoke about that back then. I'm not going to cover all that. go back and listen to us 3 years ago, two and a half years ago, when we were covering that thoroughly. It's all on Blog Talk. I'm trying to set this up so you see where this is at. So then after all this gets by, right, which they never really told you what happened with the sequester, then all of a sudden the government shuts down. And the government shuts down because back when in 2012, when they were on the fiscal cliff and they were fighting for their life, that was triggered by what happened in 2008 with the mortgages. Let me make it plain. Housing is for persons. Persons are bonded slaves, which is why the housing is designated by wards and parcels. Wards deal with wardens. You know about the wards in New Orleans. You know about the wards in Houston. Do you know who the warden is over these wards? The governor. The chief warden. Who have designated and classified by words that they don't even comprehend. If you say warden, they know what a warden is, but if you say they live, they tell you every day they live in the fifth ward, the third ward, and they don't know what they're saying. So if you look at it, let me show it to you. So they go into a, they go from a fiscal cliff to a sequester. In 2012, excuse me, I think it was the end of 2011, we reported this to Barack Obama, brought forth martial law and signed it into law. One of the last, I think it was one of the last days of 2011. See, they were already preparing for this. It's the fact that the masses of our people particularly don't comprehend this. And they're running around with their games, arguing, debating, this and that. And their mind is nowhere near where they need to be. That's why our people are not getting this message. And you hear one voice that has been consistently preaching this to you. That's been this nation here. Nonetheless, I want to show you this clearly. Before 2012, they knew that they were going to have to pay back China. They contracted in the 70s Henry Kissinger, George Herbert, Walker Bush, then dealing with the CIA, head of the CIA, instituted contracts with the third world commercial status Islamic countries. They were in a third world status. Those countries were Iran, Iraq, and Libya specifically. How does a colonel come to lead a country? With all due respect to the one Colonel Gaddafi, who is no longer present. How does a colonel supersede a general? Now ask yourself that. How did he get that seat over those who were in front of him? If you study the history, you'll understand. But you need to study it. You got to stop relying on us to tell you everything. So all of those countries that are at war right now, and all of those countries that are at war with America, including Yemen, including northern India, where there is large Islamic presence, is because the Islamic countries were in a third world status commercially. I'm not talking about how they were actually living. I'm not saying that they were living poorly. I'm not trying to say that they were destitute. I'm talking about from a commercial perspective. 20 years ago, well, really, in the late 90s, that's not even 20 years ago, China was in third world commercial status. I want to explain this all the best I can. I got about another 23 minutes before I'm off today. We'll try to get this all in. So here's what happened. China removed their contracts from the Arab countries to get their oil. They were getting their oil exclusively from the Islamic countries. This is before 2012. America sees this coming after they knew China was in negotiations to get rid of those contracts. China signs on to the contract with Russia to get their oil. So since 2012, China has been getting their oil from Russia. Now, America has a problem. China, who bought up America's debt and is their primary creditor, not their principal, their principal creditor, not their primary, because the international bankers are the primary. China is the principal. So with their principal creditor who bought up all their debt, but America has the contracts with the Islamic countries' oil that Kissinger and George Herbert Walker Bush initiated in the 70s. America sees that 2012 December was approaching, so they called in the payments for their land oil mortgages that were on the land of the Islamic countries. And America agreed to not even drill for oil on this land that you call North America in particular. They agreed that they wouldn't drill for oil over here, that they were going to get their oil exclusively from the Islamic countries for the purpose of that exchange. This brought the Islamic countries out of third world status into a first world creditor status, i.e. they had triple A credit from that point, from a global perspective, if you follow what I'm saying. No different than if you know somebody that has a 750 to 850 credit score, okay, well, understand countries, nations, and governments have credit scores as well. And a lot of times their credit scores deal with a letter grade, or at least a letter grade that they tell the public. So if you have a triple A credit score, that's great. America had a double A minus credit score moving into December of 2012. So now the people started to pull their currency away from America. That is the set global standard of currency, which is a whole nother issue, but it's the set global standard of currency all over the world, all over the earth, And so people start to not trust in countries and nations, start to not trust in the Federal Reserve note any longer. And this is before 2012. So as America sees that China is getting out of the contracts with the same countries that America have subdued in contract, now they know they got a foreseen problem on their hands because China bought up all their credit, and now they can't balance their books or retaliate against China commercially because now China is not codependent on the same Islamic country oil. I hope that makes sense. So now you see, there was rising gas prices, high gas prices, because they had the obligation to try to get that money to give it back to China. But when China pulled out of the oil from the Islamic countries, now they had a real problem because how were they going to pay it? So now they had to go foreclose on their land mortgages. They demanded full payment of their land mortgages. Then they had to go foreclose, and they had to collect, listen carefully, they had to bond more persons and convert them commercially to create more taxpayers so that they could circumvent what was coming. Now their plan has failed. I'm going to explain it to you. China set a provincial governor over Congress before 2012. China set their own country up in the United States. They set up their own mayors. They set up their own government in the United States before 2012. If I'm not mistaken, I believe you can find one of the Chinese mayors in the city of Washington, D.C., or it's in that area. Look for the provincial governor. There's a Chinese provincial governor over the Congress. So now what is happening is that China is making a power move to replace the Federal Reserve note dollar as the global standard of trade dollar currency. And America has no power to stop them. You're looking at the arrogance and the ego of America that's going to show its head. Because it doesn't want you to know that they have already been in pre-foreclosure and that they are about to have to surrender all of their property. And they are close. So now, to circumvent, they decided that they were going to try to switch to electric cars. They have no use of the oil any longer. It doesn't keep China in check. They can't drill for their own oil under these contracts. So in order to try to circumvent and supplement to pay back their bills, because if you don't know, the United States of America has the largest trade deficit on the earth, meaning this is what a trade deficit is. And I'm not talking about the actual fiscal deficit or the national deficit. I'm talking about the trade deficit. The trade deficit is, let's say you have sticks and the other party has stones. You meet up, they give you their stones, but you don't give them your sticks. So now you owe them your sticks. America has done this to all these countries all over the earth just to try to pay back the bank, the international bankers, and China, and they have not been able to do it. And what you don't see that's coming is what they're going to do with these switch. I mean, listen, Britney Spears had an electric car, what, 10 years ago? What happens when you can't get food, you can't travel in your own automobiles because you're not going to be able to afford them? You're not going to be able to. The electric cars are going to be $10,000 to $20,000, right? You're not going to qualify them for credit because what happened was a 620 to 650 credit score as an individual, listen carefully, that used to be considered good because the highest grade credit score would be 850. So 650 on up was considered, 650 to 750 was considered to be an A minus. But after this, the grade has gone down. So now 650 is a C minus. Okay? So now, when you can't qualify for electric cars and they stop shipping the barrels of oil and producing gas, you got a problem. So to circumvent that, they have to do these things in order to just hold off China from trying to completely in your face. And we reported 3 years ago, they attempted to buy Pontiac, Michigan. They attempted to buy Detroit during the foreclosure of the bankruptcy right before that. Why do you think Detroit had to go into bankruptcy? They really China bought up parts of the whole area in Detroit called Brightmoor. It was China that bought it. They were moving to seize the city. Okay, now let me move on. So what they're saying is, and what they're doing is, they're trying to replace the Federal Reserve note dollar. America is trying to combat that. We're trying to come with another currency. They're stuck because they owe the international bankers who determine their currency. A Federal Reserve note cannot be printed up on its own. There must be a person slash taxpayer slash bond servant that has the debt obligation to pay each printed dollar back, which is why, as I was stating, they had to go and foreclose on these other countries, these Arab countries, because they weren't looking to get the oil. They weren't even looking. They knew that they weren't going to get a lump sum payback. They wanted the persons. Now, let me find these articles for you. CIA insider breaks silence on global currency wars. You can find this on moneymorning.com. It is by Money Morning staff reporters. So China's plan to position the yuan as a world reserve currency serve as a warning sign that something much more dangerous is approaching. According to Jim Rickards, the CIA's asymmetric warfare advisor, why is there a warfare advisor dealing with currency? If you've been listening to us over the last couple of years, you'll know why. Because foreclosure in common language translates as war. So what you think is war is actually strict foreclosure. That's why when you cannot pay your bills, there are wars. That's what's going on this earth. Not I don't like you, not all of that stuff. It is commercial. Now, yes, there are situations like the Boko Haram situation. That's a personal dislike. But I'm talking about major companies, corporations slash government. They're dealing with corporate takeovers and debts when they're dealing with warfare. Reason as follows. Well, let me read the last line. According to Jim Rickards, the CIA asymmetric warfare advisor, the answer is yes. In a startling interview, he reveals that all 16 U.S. intelligence agencies have begun to prepare for World War III. Again, hold that thought. What is war? War is strict foreclosure. Because a breach of contract, because somebody didn't pay back their bills, and now country slash government must send in its bailiffs to go foreclose and evict you off of the, out of the house, off of the land, whatever. Now, in this situation, they don't have to evict you off of the land. They have to seize control of it commercially by having certain things go on in paperwork. It reads on as follows. Making matters worse, his colleagues believe it could begin within the next 6 months. However, the ground zero location for this global conflict is what makes his interview a must-see for every American. Take a few moments to watch it below and decide for yourself. Go to moneymorning.com/EXT, like an exit, EXT, /articles/Rickards, RICKARDS, /China-Plan-2-TO-Destroy-US-Dollar. Reddit.php. Excuse me. The title of this article, CIA Insider Breaks Silence on Global Currency Wars. Additionally, there is a project called, headed by the CIA. Well, they're part of it. Project Prophecy. You all better wake up. They know that prophecy is about to be fulfilled. They know that their time is up. You look at the Crips and Bloods and them standing up and look what just happened. And they sat them people down and put those police officers in prison. There is a paradigm shift that is about to occur and is occurring before your eyes because the United States is over as you've known it. The United States is done and you are sleeping, don't see it. Project Prophecy, because they know prophecy is about to be fulfilled. Go there and look it up, and you're going to see them extensively talking about what's about to happen. Ron Paul tried to warn them. Other financial experts have tried to warn them. Now here's another article. This is by Mike Palmer. Palmer, P-A-M-P-A-L-M-E-R. And this is from thecrux.com, C-R-U-X, thecrux.com. Very interesting. Listen, this is the name of the article. Expert says, look who's going bankrupt next in America. You all are out here arguing and debating about things that you don't see you can only prepare for them commercially. You have to change your mind commercially, and you're going to have to produce industry in order for you to survive. And if you don't have an industry that's coming forth, you're not going to make it. No one believed Porter Stansberry 7 years ago. As one of America's largest independent financial research firms, Mr. Stansberry worked back in 2008. Remember I spoke on the mortgage fiasco. Led him to a bold but worrisome conclusion. The world's largest mortgage bankers, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which at the time were responsible for nearly 50% of all the mortgages in America, would soon go bankrupt. I don't have the time to explain all of this today. I got about 5 minutes left. So I'm going to do my best to explain how all of this goes back, to 2008. Housing is designed for persons / taxpayers. Some of this language might be a little tricky to you. Some of these words don't mean what you think they mean. Houses are different than homesteads. Let me make that clear. Houses are different than homes. A house is not a home. Persons must reside in houses. Housing is an ancient word that goes all the way back to Egypt when the Egyptians had another dark, well, the so-called Egyptians, the Nubian Kemetic people, had another dark people under bond servitude commercially. Not over slaves. See, that's why we get confused. We think that in ancient Egypt they had slavery like we know of it as today. There were some similarities, but where we're missing is that we think slavery is whips, ships, chains. That's what we think slavery is. Lynchings, right? Okay. That's not slavery. Slavery is and always has been commercial. So one country in ancient Egypt owed another country which is what you read about the Israelites being enslaved in Egypt. One country owed another country commercially, and that is what took place. That is why the said Egyptians, no disrespect to them, had Israelites in bond servitude, and there wasn't the same, I don't know, vitriol that you see Romans have for us. Whole nother thing. But here's what is going on. Housing is an ancient term that goes all the way back even before Kemet. Okay, even before Kemet was called Kemet. The word house has always pertained to slaves. Okay, persons. Persons are bond servant slaves, taxpayers. It might sound a little bit tricky, but that's what it is. So they have to seize control over the housing in order to control the persons. So the persons are tenants in common of a house. They own it when they're getting the mortgage, but they don't possess it. You cannot take a homestead from an individual that has made a claim of a homestead and is a free man. Let me make that clear. So they had to secure more power and control over the housing because of all the mistakes when they had no regulations. For when they ended regulations on the banks back in the 2000s and going out of the 80s, moving. I'm going to go over a little bit of time. There's 90 seconds left. I'm going to go over onto the recording for about an additional 5 minutes. They had to secure more persons for what they knew was coming, and there was no regulated banking from the late 80s into the 90s up until the 2000s until this fiasco happened. So they were going, spewing out worthless Federal Reserve notes, flooding the market while the interest rates were low on the manufacturing of a Federal Reserve note. They were spewing out and flooding the society with more and more and more and more Federal Reserve notes, which actually is going to backfire on you in the end because the Federal Reserve note is a debt note, so the more that enter the society and are being circulated, the more the debt is, and then obviously at some point they're going to call in the interest rates on those debts that the note produces. Now you're in trouble. So as they know, and they know because it's all in these articles, that was a pre-warning of what was to come. They knew that if they couldn't dodge it, that they would be foreclosed upon. You're looking at a great and dreadful day that our brothers, the Bloods and Crips, stood up and defended their people. And now they're going to move to further talk to our leaders. And the very few of us that even actually understand commerce, nationality, along with history, along with scripture, and all of these different things, are going to be the only people who are going to survive. You're not going to see an all-out catastrophe happen overnight. You're looking for a hand out of the clouds from your, whatever you call your God, to reach out of the clouds and just turn everything upside down. They're turning the cooker up on this slowly. Sister Tora writes me a note. So the more debt notes one has, the more you owe them. Understand what the sister is saying? The more debt notes that are circulated, the more debt you owe. When there are lower interest rates, they flood it with more debt notes. When there are higher interest rates, they pull the debt notes back, if I understand that correctly. What you used to call inflation, now they use different terms like balloon, or they'll use balloon because ultimately it's a balloon payment that they owe. personally. You owe part of the personal debt when you are strictly in an improper state of mind to comprehend this law. What does this have to do with prophecy that they're calling this Project Prophecy? What does it have to do with prophecy that you are asleep to that they know is about to come down on them? Listen, in our community, the Negroes, Latinos, the Natives, the Aboriginals, our said leaders are all out here arguing and bickering and debating. They're debating about history. They're debating about what books they read. Their mind is not where it needs to be. We need to be 100% focused on weeding out those of us who are not going to stand in like mind as one people and as a nation of people. The things that you argue and bicker about do not affect the economy of America. You still got the drug abuse that they benefit off of. You still got the food drugs, because this food is a bunch of drugs that they're pumping in your system. And they're still winning. And all that you preach about does not affect them, period. But the real way to seize control over your destiny is to come together and do commercial business as one. Thank you for listening.